Mic check.
Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Well, hey, everybody. How you doing? Happy Thursday to you. Can you believe it's Thursday already? How are you? It's Sheeman and Shepherd until 6 o'clock. I'm Pete. Chris is here on the other side of the glass, on the other side of, well, he's on the other side of 75 for me. Craig is off today and tomorrow here at 99.3 ESPN. Again, it's Sheeman and Shepherd here until 6 o'clock on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. The phone number, as always, is 239-337-3776. This is one of those remote, uncontrolled type of days. I know people are livid. The text started coming in, and my personal phone blew up. Why didn't ESPN tell me? I was like, you got to go to ESPN Plus. What can I tell you? I'm not in charge, you know, until 4 o'clock. Then I'll be back on live again. But Chris and I are both watching the PGA Championship right now on our respective phones. It's been very good so far. The weather started off about 55 degrees this morning. Some guys had knitted caps. We're going to get into all of that. We've got some, obviously, we've got the ACC schedule came out. We've got some college football news to tell you about. The Miami Hurricanes landed a top-notch recruit about a half hour ago out of Palmetto, staying local. And also lots of NFL news as the opt-out deadline today is at 4 o'clock. But we are going to do a lot with the PGA Championship today. So we say hello to Chris, and let's get right into it. So far, Chris, first of all, hello. And how do you feel about the start of this tournament thus far? Huh? Pretty good.
Yeah, I feel really great. I mean, watching it this morning and what limited coverage ESPN Plus has had, or at least what I've watched with the featured groups, I mean, this is not an easy golf course. There's a premium on hitting the fairway here, hitting it in the rough. That is a definite penalty. Maybe not a full stroke like a U.S. Open setup, but it's a half a stroke penalty. I mean, it's a true 50-50 as to what kind of lie you're going to get if you don't hit the fairway off the tee. And we've got good names at the top of the leaderboard, so I love it. I mean, it's first. And any time I get a major championship golf tournament, I'm all in. You throw that it's the first one in over a year. Tiger's playing. He's off right now playing some decent golf. And, yeah, I'm all in. I love this.
Yeah, we're going to get four. I think they're going to get four majors within 11 months. I think that's what the schedule comes out to.
Yeah, yeah.
Scottie Scheffler's on top with Zach Johnson right now, both at 4-under. How about that? Tony Finau is on my FanDuel team. He's at 3-under along with Jason Day, Xander Schauffele, Martin Kamer, and Bud Colley, Gary Woodland, Dustin Johnson, Alex Noren, and Mike Lorenzo Vera. They're all at 3-under. Koepka's at 2-under. Tiger's at 2-under, too, isn't he? Yeah, Tiger's at minus one. Tiger's at minus one. He was at minus two. He could have been minus three.
Yeah, it was. He's missed a couple putts that could have been had. One was a par putt that lipped out, and another was a birdie putt that it was makeable, and he didn't make it. But he also did pour in, I think, his second birdie of the day, about a 30, 35-footer. So you're not expecting to make that one. But, yeah, he poured it in.
Yeah, and like most majors, I really like it when and the PGA Championship has always been considered kind of like
the fourth
major, right? Kind of like the redheaded stepchild. Actually, a lot of people think TPC Sawgrass is the real fourth major, and this PGA Championship is the fifth. But this field is tremendous. It feels like a U.S. Open, although the scores are a tad higher. A lot of times in U.S. Opens, you don't get scores of 4-under, you know, this early. Usually it's like par or minus one or minus two tops, but it's been an exciting round of golf. I've been paying attention to the greens after what Jeff Nixon said yesterday about how they could be a little, I don't know, bumpy, so to speak. But I've seen some tremendous putts rolled in, and Martin and Kamer just rolled one in from about 40 feet, by the way, to go to 3-under. But it's been great so far. I think Tiger overall has looked pretty good. You worry about what we talked about yesterday about the weather and his back, you know.
Well, then, and the weather has actually looked, you know, warmer, I think, than what some of the forecasts were calling for, which is a good thing for Tiger. But did you see him hit on the – it was his ninth hole of the day. It was actually 18, hitting out of the rough. It looks like it was a heavy swing to get through all that rough, and I don't want to say he grabbed his back afterwards, but he kind of walks has been walking a little slower since that shot on 18. But
by the way, Martin Kamer just hit that 40-foot putt was for birdie, and it was puts him at minus five. So now he's atop the leaderboard with Zach Johnson now at 500. But and also was it on? It was just a couple of holes ago. I thought he hit a real good drive, but then it trickled into the trap.
Yeah, that was and then, 17.
And his second shot, he flew the green right into second shot. Yeah. I think he saved par.
No, I mean he was trying to hit out of the right. He did save par on that. I think that was the 16th hole.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean he's had a couple of really nice up and down par saves today. Or I shouldn't say par saves. Actually, the first hole he played was the 10th today, which is a par five, and short sighted himself, had to hit a flop shot over a greenside bunker and put it to 5 feet and was able to get up and down and make his birdie putt. So Tiger's been playing well today. He's been playing some pretty good, solid golf right now. Tiger's MO in majors is generally not to shoot yourself out of it on the first day. If you can go out, post your 1-2 under par, keep yourself in the tournament, and just don't shoot yourself out of it. That tends to be what Tiger does at major championship venues. And he's doing that today. He's one under with the birdie putt right now on, what is this, on the first?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and this is, what, about 18-footer maybe?
Yeah, 15? 20, yeah, somewhere around there.
Good guess. Let's see. I'm sure we have the same feed. And it is just a bit outside on the right. Got to tap in. I'm watching the Pelicans in Sacramento. And if you are watching on NBA TV, of course, while you're listening to the show and watching golf at the same time as we are doing, it's a clinic on how not to play defense. Hubie Brown must be, I can just hear him cursing at the television. New Orleans just played, I mean, they're going to score, they scored 50 points in the first quarter, I think. Sacramento did.
It's really, I mean, going into the bubble, all I heard at least was the defense. The defense is going to be ahead of the offense, like what you hear in the NFL coming out of training camp. The defense is there, the offense maybe not. It's almost felt like the opposite, like scoring is up in the bubble. I mean, your Celtics last night, what they did to the Nets.
We call that, though. That was and I fear for the Miami Heat could be in the same type of situation tonight when they take on Milwaukee. Probably a pissed off Milwaukee team. They got humiliated by Brooklyn 2 days ago.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'll win by as many as like that, but they're 9-point favorite. I know that seems like a large
line.
Seems
like a big number, yeah. Yeah.
But it wouldn't shock me if the Bucks bounce back big time tonight. What's Pete? It's pronounced the Keimer. What did I say?
Keimer. You said Kamer.
Kamer. I'm sorry. My bad.
I think that's
I'm sorry. My bad.
It's a little thing. You want to throw it to a rundown?
Now. Oh, geez. I forgot about that.
That's all right.
I actually wrote it right down
that's
here.
That's all right.
Actually, Craig texted me, said go late. Yes, let's before we without any further ado, here's Chris with the first of four, hopefully, rundowns.
All right, the first place Miami Marlins are back in action tonight. They host the Orioles in Baltimore. Go figure. Anyway, the Fish took both games yesterday of a doubleheader to improve to 5-1 on the season. We got a preseason college football poll out. It is the Amway Coaches Poll for USA Today. Clemson's number one, Ohio State number two, then three SEC schools. Bama, Georgia, LSU to round out the top five. The Gators come in at number eight. UCF gets in the top 25. They are number 21. Miami and Florida State not in the top 25. Florida State actually did not receive a single vote. Maybe not surprising, Miami, but...
Miami and the coaches poll, I think they were 34th according to the voting.
Yeah, so,
But I've seen two other polls where they're in the top 25. That can change very quickly. I do think when we'll get into the schedule, Miami's last game of the year is against North Carolina.
Yeah, that could be a very big game.
And as we talked about yesterday, Georgia Tech is going to play UCF, but North Carolina is not.
Yep, that was one of my notes from looking at the schedules. You know, UCF, they were able to keep one of their big, you know, keep a big boy on the schedule. That's big for them, especially in a year where, you know, non-conference games are going to be few and far apart. For them to have somebody that they can say, hey, you know, look at what these guys do in the ACC. We have a common opponent to a lot of these schools that you're considering for the playoff. That's a good thing for the Knights. And maybe not get them into the playoff, especially if it doesn't expand, but still to get them into one of those New Year's Day bowls if they have a good season, it's a win for UCF in my book.
And Miami starts off the whole thing against UAB on I think it's a Thursday night.
Is it a Thursday?
I think it is, yeah, Thursday night. So it is a Thursday night. It is a Thursday night because their game is at 7 o'clock. Guess who plays at 8:20?
Who?
The Chiefs.
Oh, they put that game on the 10th?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, the same night as the night of the opening up of the NFL season.
That's not great.
They get an hour and a half jump, but still, you know. I mean, it's you. Well, look, they can't take anybody for granted, not after what happened last year. Now, the other thing is, we're going to do a lot of golf today, but I do want to get this in right out of the gate. Did you see what happened with Jim Harbaugh and Ryan Day? Have you heard about this?
No.
Oh, this is fantastic. This is absolutely fantastic. So, I dug this story up today. So, what happened was, is it today or yesterday, during the weekly Big Ten head coaches teleconference, which is held privately, it's not open to the media, Ryan Day and Jim Harbaugh got into it on the call. While on the call, Ryan Day was talking, and suddenly Jim Harbaugh interrupted him to say that Ohio State was violating the rules by having on-field instruction and drills, which are not permitted until Friday. Harbaugh then brought up Al Washington by name and mentioned a picture that surfaced with Washington working with some of the Buckeye linebackers. Day fired back, "How about I worry about my team, you worry about yours?" Now, that's not the best part. After the team meeting, which took place not too long after the call, during a team meeting, which took place not too long after the call among Big Ten coaches, Ryan Day told his team, "The Big Ten better have a mercy rule because the Buckeyes are going to hang 100 on the Wolverines."
I love it. Oh, the countdown on October 24th is on.
That is outstanding.
Why would
you're probably going to see that story get more pub as the day goes on, but that happened. So Harbaugh's trying to snitch on Ohio State.
Why would Harbaugh poke the bear?
Yep, Ryan Day told his team they better have a mercy rule in the Big Ten because we're going to hang 100 on the Wolverines.
And they can do it.
They've come close.
What, they got 73 on them last year or 2 years ago?
Whatever. Well, no, I mean, yeah, the margin of victory has gone up each of the last 5 years. So that is, I am just tickled pink with that. So that is just hysterical. Gotta love it.
Harbaugh trying to beat Ohio State on a technicality.
Although, you know, but there have been reports out there, that not Ohio State, but in the NFL, there have been a couple stories out there where a lot of coaches seem to be in violation of some of these COVID protocols, which maybe we'll get into a little bit later on. But I have seen a few stories out there, and they have the snitch line, as you know. The snitch line is out there. Florida State is announcing attendance for home games limited to 20-25% of capacity. Penn State announces nobody can go. Nobody can go. So, 239-337-3776, 239-337-3776. You want to comment on the golf or the ACC schedule or just the story I just brought up to you with Ohio State and Michigan. Wow.
We are getting some people texting in on the Stony Brook Golf Club text line about, you know, ESPN not broadcasting the PGA Championship over, you know, the cable instead of, you know, so the way it works with the PGA Tour, they can't just broadcast however long that they want. They book windows, basically. It's like even the Golf Channel, right, on a normal Thursday afternoon during season, they're not going to broadcast the entire tournament, not because they're broadcasting something else, but because they're not allowed to broadcast more than what they're put out to broadcast, and ESPN is opting to take the broadcast from 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. instead of starting it at noon, let's say, and you not get the primetime coverage. So that's why ESPN's doing it, just so everybody knows.
Yeah. And, you know, even last week you had, you know, the Golf Channel was able to show, you know, starting at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and they went all the way. But it's different. And tomorrow Tiger will be playing later in the afternoon.
In the evening, I
know, I know it's a pain. In this day and age, it should be, especially this year with the pandemic, you shouldn't have to go to ESPN Plus. I mean, we have it because we have it. But it's a pain in the patoot for those that don't. And I get it. But again, we'll keep you updated on everything that's going on still right now. Martin Keimer and Zach Johnson, still your leaders at 5-under. Scottie Scheffler, Jason Day, 1 stroke back at 4-under. And a bunch of guys, including Koepka and Tony Finau at 3-under. And Dustin Johnson. As I was telling earlier, Chris, ESPN and ABC is still working on ACC schedules, so no times and TV information yet. But the Miami-Alabama September 10th opener will be on one of the ESPN-owned networks, and it's the first ACC game of the year and the only ACC Thursday game all year. So I'm thinking it'll be on regular ESPN, and hopefully it's a 7 o'clock start, according to Barry Jackson, because, as I said, Houston and Kansas City open up the NFL season at 8:20.
Why would they do that to themselves?
Well, maybe they have no choice as far as this guy. I don't know.
Do the Dolphins play at home week one? I'm trying to remember off the top of No, they're in Foxborough, aren't they?
Yeah, they're in Foxborough. Yeah,
so it's not a venue issue.
Nope.
Anyway, I'm sure there's a reason for it.
We'll see what happens there. But, yep, hopefully it's a 7 o'clock start. And, you know, God forbid they don't make it an 8 o'clock start, I hope. In fact, I hope they make it a 6 o'clock start. That would be even better. That way you get a full, almost 2.5 hour jump on NBC, right, for Houston and Kansas City. And hopefully all this stuff, hopefully we're playing. That's just it. By the way, the ACC non-conference home games, in case you're wondering, I'm just go down the list here. Boston College will play Ohio. Duke will play Charlotte. Florida State, Samford. Georgia Tech, UCF, Louisville, Western Kentucky, Miami, as you know, UAB, NC State, Liberty. Liberty's playing everybody in the ACC, it seems. Notre Dame, Western Michigan. Pittsburgh will play Miami of Ohio. Syracuse also plays Liberty. Virginia will play VMI. Virginia Tech, say it after me, Liberty. And Wake Forest, Old Dominion. Now, Clemson and North Carolina haven't decided yet.
And they have to play that game, right?
Yeah, they have to play that game.
Because it doesn't count towards standings, but the ACC is mandating that everybody play one non-conference game.
And I can hear it now. If North Carolina somehow, and they're probably going to, bags out of playing UCF, you watch what happens. Watch the UCF people come crying.
I believe that the UNC week where they have their slated non-conference game is the same week that UCF plays Georgia Tech. I think it's week two of the season.
Let me see. I'm looking at it right now. UNC opens up against State. No, it seems like they have that's the third week that's open.
Okay. So it's different weeks. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I guess
third week is open. Georgia Tech. No, it's because Georgia Tech is playing NC State that third week. So it is available. It is available. But don't you think I can just see that happening? And I mean, if I'm North Carolina, I want to play that game.
No, Pete,
and I know it's only, but I'm saying in the overall grand scheme of things in the rankings, it's not going to matter right in the ACC because they're going strictly, they're going strictly on the conference.
No,
but in the national rankings, it would matter.
North Carolina's week two opponent is scheduled as their non-conference game. That's the same weekend that UCF goes to Georgia Tech. So they're not, so Carolina cannot play UCF this season. Carolina opens up with Syracuse, then it's the non-conference game, bye week, then they get into ACC play, BC, Vatech, FSU, State, so on and so forth.
Well, I wonder who they're gonna pick somebody.
Yeah, they'll get somebody in there. I'm sure it'll be UNC Charlotte type, one of those schools. Elon, like I said.
Yeah.
I'd imagine that they want to keep a lot of that public money, if these are guarantee games, keep it in state. That would go over better during a pandemic, I would think. But it's Clemson and North Carolina are the two schools that have not announced their non-conference opponent.
Well, like your guys' reaction about that, 239-337-3776. As I said, also today, Miami landed a big-time recruit. Leonard Taylor staying home. Five-star defensive tackle from Palmetto is going to be a Hurricane next year. So that's good for them as well. And as I said earlier, you know, Ryan Day and Jim Harbaugh going at it in a conference call, and then Ryan Day telling his players after at Ohio State, they better have a mercy rule or in the Big Ten, or we're going to hang 100 on Michigan. I cannot wait. Circle October 24th. 239-337-3776. 239-337-3776. Alex is in Fort Myers up first today on Sheeman and Shepherd here on 99.3 ESPN. Hey, Alex.
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
Good. How are you?
Hey, it could only be better if I were twins.
Fantastic.
But what I'm going to tell you is this is going to be the easiest betting year that there is. You take you do not do a major team. Marlins already, what, 5-1?
5-1, 800 winning percentage.
Okay. And it's all divisional opponents. And I could not name one player that plays for the Marlins right now. But that was an easy pick. Gators are going to be a marginal pick. But there are teams that I would take, like you were talking about, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Might be a good one.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. The expectations are very high for Mac Brown's team this year. Very high.
I think Sam Howell is a sleeper to, you know, be invited to New York City for the Heisman.
Hmm? Okay, what are the Skittles on that one?
I'm not sure. I don't have it up in front of me.
I don't know. You'd have to check. But yeah, that's a good sleeper pick. And look, I think Derek King is going to be real good for the Miami Hurricanes. I think it's going to be a night and day performance from last year. Night and day from on the offense. And I think with Ed Reed being around as well, kind of handling. Being around day-to-day operations, that's going to be huge. But
well, that's where I think he's helping out. It's what you're just talking about right there. Mm. Five-star from South Florida, staying home, and you know that maybe it's not Ed Reed, but you know I look at what's new around that program, what's changing, and Ed Reed's the new thing around there. So I'll attribute this to at least a portion of him.
Yep, absolutely. As you said, you went through the coaches poll earlier, but just let me real quick before we go to break here, I'll go from bottom to top. Number 25 is Iowa State, then Va Tech, Iowa, Cincinnati, UCF 21st, Utah 20th, Utah, North Carolina 19th, Minnesota, USC, Oklahoma State, Michigan 15th, Texas and A&M, Wisconsin, Auburn at 11, Notre Dame 10. Oregon 9, Florida 8, Penn State 7, Oklahoma 6, LSU, Georgia at 4, Bama, Ohio State, and Clemson.
Huh, I wonder what Craig Sheeman would say to that. Georgia at 4.
Well,
huh.
He would say that's their ceiling. Something of that ilk. He would say something of that, that is their ceiling.
How about that?
I think Florida should be ranked a little bit higher.
I do too.
I would flip-flop Oklahoma and Florida.
I'd probably flip-flop LSU in Florida. I'd put Florida top five.
Yeah, that's certainly, yep, absolutely. A lot of it's on reputation from last year. I know Penn State's loaded at seven.
Especially on defense. That defense is going to be sick this year.
Yep, absolutely. All right, the phone number is 239-337-3776, 239-337-3776. We'll continue to keep you updated on the PGA Championship. Today is NFL opt-out deadline day as well. I got a couple of thoughts on that. Again, the 102nd PGA Championship is going on. And don't forget, the NBA on 99.3 ESPN continues tomorrow night with the Celtics taking on the Toronto Raptors. Coverage starts at 8:30 with tip-off at 9. More of your calls, analysis, life and death situations, whatever you want to talk about is fine with me today on a Thursday. Sheeman and Shepherd rolling along until 6 o'clock here on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Guys on Twitter, at PSHEP26 and at Craig ESPN. This is Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Sheeman and Shepherd, on a Thursday, rolling along already until 6 o'clock on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Phone number 239-337-3776. Same number two for the Stony Brook Golf Club text line as well. And read some of your texts. Again, the PGA Championship is ongoing. Still on top is Scotty Scheffler, Martin Kaymer, and now and Zach Johnson, all at 5 under par right now with Jason Day, Xander Schauffele, 1 stroke back at 4 under. A bunch of guys, including Koepka and Finau, Alex Noren, Bud Cowley, Gary Woodland, Dustin Johnson, all at 3 under. Tiger is still down. He's at even now through 11 holes. He started on the back. But he's even through 11 holes, tied for 36th right now, but again, it's very, very early in the tournament. Very, very early in the tournament. Been very good so far. I'm surprised. I've seen a lot of long putts made today, Chris, so far.
Being out west, actually, so when we were talking to Jeff yesterday, at least from what I heard, they actually redid the grass there at TPC Harding Park, where it's not the bumpy poana, that they put some hybrid bent grass in there, so the greens are a lot smoother than what these guys are used to playing on out on the West Coast. I just heard that before the show today, actually. So
cool.
Yeah, so good thing when you see guys making some bombs.
Yeah, absolutely. And those putts, you're going to remember those on Sunday, you know, when things are real, real close. I'm sure my guess is this will go into a playoff of some sort. There's so many real good golfers and I don't think any lead, I mean, maybe a 10-shot lead might be a little safe, but I don't see that happening. But anything between three, if you're within 3 to 5 shots going into Sunday, right? I mean, it was certainly 5 shots. I think you're definitely in it.
Well,
on a course like this.
What's exciting about the layout of this course is the par four, I think it's the 16th hole, par four 16th. It's 15 or 16. 330 yards. So a lot of the big hitters can get there if they need to make an eagle late in the round on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Late in the round, back nine, Sunday major championship on the line. You could see a guy like Brooks Koepka, if he's 2 off the lead, or Bryson DeChambeau, or John Rahm, or one of these big hitters, if they're standing on the tee box, down a couple of strokes, and their hand is kind of forced where they have to go for the green, it could be entertaining.
Yeah, and that's something I brought up to Jeff yesterday. I said, do you see a lot of people going for eagle on the on some of these par fives? He didn't think that would be the case, but like you said, you know, depending on the situation, guys might have to get a little more aggressive.
Yeah.
So we'll see. A little high school football note here that I found this morning. It came out last night. Dennis Maffezoli, who is the deputy sports editor for the Sarasota Herald Tribune, but he's reporting that the Florida High School Athletic Association Advisory Committee met and decided to vote for Option 3, which is a condensed version of the high school sports season that begins November 30th.
November 30th?
Yes. Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
I mean, this is the, you know, I don't think that model can be taken up across most of the country, but here in Florida, you know, there's no reason that you can't push it back. If what I would say to that is, you know, what's going to be different November 30th as opposed to August 30th? You know, what's going to be different? Are we going to have more kids back in school at that point? Is there going to be some sort of vaccine out available to the public at that point? And that's always been my, not criticism, because they're going to do what they think is best for them and the student athletes, but whenever you push something back, tell me why. If you're just pushing it back just to bide more time, you know, okay. But I don't see what pushing it back to November 30th as opposed to August 30th is going to really fix.
Well, I think it's like you said. It's about, you know, they're trying to keep the kids' safety, health issues, all that. Maybe where cases start to go down. I'm hoping they'll be a lot different from now and November.
We've had some, not great days, but testing wise, the numbers over the last 5 days or so, and the sample size is starting to go back up now. I believe we had 7,000 positive tests yesterday in the state out of over 100,000 tests. So, you know, we're getting down to that 7-8% area where before, you know, maybe 2 weeks ago, we were up in the 12% range. So it's dropping daily here in the state. At least the positive percentage is dropping here in the state every day, which is good.
The we'll get to what baseball is doing too. They just implemented last night a whole bunch of new rules. We'll see what happens. We'll get into them in a second here. But reading on the Stony Brook Golf Club text line, 941 says stuck in traffic at Punta Gorda for 45 minutes. Not sure how much longer, but I'm glad I have your sweet and seductive voice to listen to, Pete. Sorry, Chris.
That's all right.
Kinky. Tattoo guy says, Pete, sounded like you hit your toe on a coffee table with your Zeppelin scream. No, I did that on purpose, but yeah. I'm sure I'll hit my toe at some point. It happens every day. Swisher Bake, my daughter is 14 and my oldest son is 12. They've only seen Michigan beat Ohio State once, and my youngest son is 8. He's not been alive long enough to see Ohio State lose to Michigan. It's no longer a rivalry. Swisher Bank says, I'm an official for FH for high school. They're voting on August 14th. He reported it wrong. It was tabled yesterday. All right. It was tabled yesterday, but that's according to his sources. That's his sources saying that he believes they're going to adopt on August 14th that third option. But, hey, we'll see.
We'll see on August 14th, I guess.
We'll see on August 14th.
Next Friday.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So Major League Baseball. In the aftermath of the COVID-19 outbreaks of the Marlins and Cardinals, here's what they're doing. They're dealing with scheduling havoc caused by 33 members of Marlins and Cardinals testing positive, yada, yada, yada. MLB made it clear in the memo it will not tolerate reckless activity or there will be severe punishment. Punishment, punishment.
Question, Pete, does it outline what severe punishment is or will we figure that out after the fact like we're doing with everything with Major League Baseball this year?
I don't know if you saw these, Chris. Here are the new protocols, okay?
All right, let's go.
The revised protocols include players and staff wear face coverings at all times, including the dugout and clubhouse, with the exception of players on the field. This includes all coaches on the field, every member of the umpiring crew. They must also wear face coverings at all times in the hotel and at public places on the road. Clubs now are required to reduce the size of their traveling parties to only personnel who are absolutely essential to playing games. The compliance officers must certify that every member of the traveling party served an essential function on the road trip. That should be interesting at times. Also, staff and players are strictly prohibited from meeting in hotel rooms while on the road, including, Chris, can't share food, and may not gather in any public areas of the hotel without permission from the team's compliance officer. Each team will make at least one private large room at the hotel with food and other amenities that is configured to allow for social distancing. Yet, while eating and drinking, individuals are discouraged from talking to one another or even facing one another. This is MLB, not me. So no talking.
Goodness.
On road trips, a few more here. On road trips, clubs must provide a minimum of 4 buses with a fully unoccupied row between players and staff members while prohibiting side-by-side seating. On planes, players and staff members are prohibited from having more than 2 individuals in a row. And they can't sit across from one another. They also are prohibiting anyone from leaving their seats except to go to the bathroom. Players and staff members also must wear surgical masks or N95, KN95 respirators on the plane, prohibiting cloth face coverings. Eating and drinking are still permitted on the planes, Chris, but players and staff are prohibited from talking to one another at the same time.
Good grief. I mean, I guess they're putting protocols in place, but I mean,
these are not realistic.
No, they're
not. Any player or staff member must notify their compliance officer if they intend to leave the hotel on the road. The officer will decide whether their planned trip outside the hotel complies with the manual and the club's code of conduct. Okay. Good luck with that. And just a thought, what if the player lies? Hey, I'm going out for pizza, but then it's, you know, going out clubbing. What are you going to do? How do you know? Honestly, three more. Three more. Clubs now are required to provide outdoor covered spaces for all visiting players and staff members to sit. Whenever possible, players are also encouraged to eat outdoors instead of the clubhouse.
Don Mattingly, actually, for the summer camp games that the Marlins played against the Braves, he said that it was a problem when they encountered a rain delay in the Atlanta ballpark because everybody had to go into the dugout and into the clubhouse where they weren't planning for that sort of thing, having that many guys in the room together. And Mattingly said, he goes, look, there was a problem there. Maybe other ballparks, they've got that figured out, but we've got to have some place to go during a rain delay where we're not, you know, we're still abiding by all the rules and protocols.
While at home, players and staff members are strictly prohibited from visiting bars, lounges, malls, or places in which large groups gather. Good luck with that.
Does that include churches?
I would say yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's a
large... Yeah, I would say yes.
Okay.
Sounds like it could be grocery stores, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, define large groups.
Yeah, what's
a
large group? Again, this is Major League Baseball, and it's what you've been saying since the start of this for 4 months now.
It's a tad vague.
It's been all vague. I mean, it's been vague going back to the March agreement between the players and the league talking about what the prorated salary would be with or without fans in the stands. I mean, this is an ongoing problem with whoever's writing these sort of rules for Major League Baseball.
And finally, players and staff members who have been ordered to quarantine or isolate on the road may not leave their hotel rooms under any circumstance. Any club official who does not receive permission from the commissioner's office to end their quarantine or isolation is subject to discipline. Get a spanking.
Well, Skinamax texting in on the Stony Brook Golf Club text line. Is there anything in there against open mouth breathing? Yeah, like Eli Manning, it sounds like, could not be a Major League Baseball player by these rules.
I don't know how they're going to enforce it unless they're being filmed, unless Big Brother is filming everything. The stuff about not talking to each other while you're eating on a plane is just absolutely preposterous.
That's ridiculous. Turning your back to your teammates while eating so you're not breathing the same
eating
airspace.
And drinking. I think my favorite one is when they're in the room in the hotel and they're not encouraged to talk to one another while they're eating.
I mean, this is kind of par for the course for Major League Baseball. They have a problem. Oh, let's put rules in place now. And this will not be the last set of protocols put out to the Players Association. It won't be. Another team will catch it. It's going to happen. Hopefully it's more along the lines of what happened with the Cardinals, not, you know, the Marlins crazy number. What, they get up to 17 players? 16 players, something like that?
Yeah, it was 33 between both teams, between the Cardinals and the Marlins.
Okay, but it felt like the Cardinals it was more balanced between the players and the front
and the
office.
Staff.
Yeah, and the staff.
But they also, the president there denied the fact, which we know that a couple of Cardinals were at a casino, and the president of the team denied, it just said no, it was somebody that came in from the outside that was asymptomatic that infected it. Well, I mean, you had your guys, a couple of your guys were at casinos.
Has there been any evidence of that? I know I've heard it a lot, but I haven't seen anything from
that. The USA, no, it was like, it might have been while you were on vacation.
Yeah, it was.
It happened. I think there were several reports that said there were a couple of Cardinals players that were out and did not have permit, but were out of casinos.
Because I know the Marlins.
But again, because the rule did not say you couldn't go to them. Now it does.
Now it does.
But basically said, you know, don't do that. But they did it anyway. So there you have it. Well, we got a big show lined up for you today. Coming up, we got Sound Street at 3:00. We have the Thirsty Nick Thursday sports quiz, which is also a lot of fun. At 4:20, we've got the Bubble Report. Wikipedia at 4:45, and our sports business guru, Rick Hora, will join us at 5 o'clock. And also your phone calls. Lots going on. Keeping you up to date on the PGA Championship. Lots of college football. MLB news, NBA stuff to get into as well. It's Sheeman and Shepard until 6 right here on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me!
Who was talking about you?
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Sheeman and Shepard.
All right, first up, talk some college football. Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren says confident there will be a season.
I'm confident that we've done everything we possibly can up to this moment to feel comfortable to move to tomorrow. And as I said, this is a day-to-day situation. We're gathering information. It epitomizes fluidity. And so we feel good today. But again, this is something that we're working on throughout the day and night, every single day of the week.
Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren also on the new Big Ten schedule.
What we wanted to do is just to make sure that, we created a schedule that was fair, that was equitable, that was methodical. And as you alluded to, provided us with the opportunity to have so much flexibility. So if something happened where a team was not able to play during a week, that we could either move those games later to the season. I think flexibility is so critically important, as you can see on the screen with the schedule up there now.
Moving on to the NFL, NFL Player Association President Treader satisfied thus far with the protocols.
I think the protocols are working. And that's why we have the testing protocols in place to make sure we find out what's going on, and we have the consecutive tests to make sure we know what's a positive test, what's a false positive test, and they're working as far, and that's why I'd go back to say that's the importance of continued daily testing. It's the best way to figure out what's going on and making sure we have the right decisions being made.
And along those lines, earlier today, about 6 hours ago, the NFL Players Association says 56 players have tested positive for COVID-19 since players began reporting to camp. It's about 2% of the 2,600 players on active rosters and well under a 1% positivity rate in terms of total tests administered. So early, but those are good signs right there.
Yep, those were about the numbers that the NHL was reporting when players mm-hmm. showed up to their bubble cities. That's the difference. Players showed mm-hmm. up to the bubble cities in the NHL. Here in the NFL, they're just showing up to camp. So we'll see.
Yes, we will. Meanwhile, sticking with the NFL, Tampa Bay Bucks head coach Bruce Arians says they'll have a voluntary bubble at a hotel.
We have a hotel sequestered now. And we can't force the guys to go, so it's up to them. We have some veterans over there who do live in town because they know how safe it'll be. And right. We'll obviously stay there the night before home games like we always have. But we've got a commitment. We talked about having a commitment to each other, and right. It only takes one to sink the mm-hmm. ship. And, right now it's I think it'll be easier to handle, although we'll still have 69 guys this year once we keep going after the cuts. So it's going to be a little bit harder, but it's going to take a hell of a commitment from everybody.
Speaking of hell of a commitment, Coach Arians also talked about Ronald Jones, my pick to be comeback player of the year, by the way. He's going to be the starting running back.
Rojo's the main guy. He'll carry the load. All those other guys are fighting for roles. Who goes in second when he gets tired? Maybe third down. Who's the third down guy? But they're all fighting for a role, and special teams will have a lot to do with that. But LeSean, adding him, he's a great veteran. He's a very bright guy. He's already coaching those guys, helping them out. And he'll find his niche easily.
By the way, Bucks quarterback Tom Brady spoke to the media for the first time today. We will replay it for you. It was a little under 10 minutes. We'll replay that, all the questions, about 6 or 7 questions that were asked to him at 3:30. It's pretty good stuff.
Pete, did you see the breaking news with Miami football just coming out?
I did not.
Defensive end Greg Russo has opted out of the season. Ooh. He was scheduled to be a redshirt sophomore this season and a first-round draft pick in the NFL. Yep. So good news that getting stinks. A five-star earlier today, but bad news for the upcoming season. Defensive end Greg Russo opting out of the season for the Canes.
He ends his Miami career with the incredible distinction of having more sacks than games played. He played 15 and a half sacks in 14 games, and he's going to be a top 25 pick next year.
Yes, he will be.
Well, that sucks.
Yep. Yep. But if,
I respect his. Yep. I understand, but I respect it. I just don't like it. That is a damn shame. But there are other players with the Penn State linebacker opted out as well.
Yeah. Yeah, we're starting to see it in the college game. I think this is kind of the fourth noteworthy player or big-time player. We've had the receiver from Minnesota, the cornerback from Virginia Tech also opt out.
Well, that stinks. But really, they've got some good depth on defense, the Hurricanes do. He's a big loss, no question. But it's really going to be about Derek King and getting that offense moving. More from the NFL. Head coach Sean Payton of the New Orleans Saints says he's giving players will have an option about staying in a hotel.
Basically, every day, those 170 go home and then come back the next day. So you have 170 stories each day. And so you might be, like we were to start, pretty much clean by our players, and yet every day is a new day. And then you take that and you times it by seven. And then you take that and times it, by 4 weeks and a month, and then do the season. And look, statistically speaking, they're going to be. So it's really about trying to reduce the possible exposures, not eliminate, because like I said, it's not mandatory.
Meanwhile, Coach Payton also talked about there's not going to be a choice of where these guys stay come playoff time.
What do you think is going to happen to the teams that make the postseason this year? Like I would tell you, I think there'll be less positive tests during the postseason around the league because teams will at some point say, you know what? This is too important at this time of the year. And so it'd be hard pressed for me to see anyone testing positive before the championship weekend or the Super Bowl weekend. They'll begin to quarantine themselves or find a way to be smart about that. So it's just trying to look outside or think outside the box.
Yeah, and the Saints are going to keep their players in a hotel. I would imagine that would be the case for all the playoff teams. All right, 1 hour done. Coming up right after our break at 3 o'clock and Chris's rundown, which I will not forget. We will have Thirsty Nick's sports quiz on Thursday, which is great. Also, the Bubble Report at 4:20, at 4:45, Wikipedia. Oh, by the way, Tom Brady at 3:30, his press conference from earlier today, about 10 minutes. Wikipedia at 4:45. Rick Horrell, our sports business guru at 5 o'clock. The phone number is always 239-337-3776. Same for the Stony Brook Golf Club text line. Sherman and Shepard, 1 hour down, three more to go here on a terrific Thursday here on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.